All right, our sermon today is based on a reading from Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 24. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Thank you, God, once again for your angels, messengers of hope, and instigators of action. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. The big day is almost here. But we still have a way to go before Christmas arrives, and we still have a couple of angelic encounters to ponder. All through Advent, we have been looking at people in the Christmas story who met an actual angel and found their ordinary lives changed in extraordinary ways. While serving in the temple, Zechariah saw the angel Gabriel, who said the priest would at last become a father, but he would be rendered mute for the entire 9 months before John's birth because of his cynical, doubting question, "How can I know this will happen?" Mary, going about her ordinary teenage life, also met Gabriel, who called her favored and told her she would have the honor of bearing the Messiah, God's own son. Her response to the angel's announcement was to offer herself body and soul to God. She said, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to God's will." Today, we'll see Joseph joining the growing cast of people who met an angel. Our hope is that one day we too can join that great cloud of witnesses. And so these stories help us prepare for that marvelous moment. This should have been a happy, exciting time for Joseph as well as for Mary. The two of them were engaged to be married, a process that in those days could take up to a year. Although they were not officially husband and wife, their engagement status was legally binding. The consequences of either one of them breaking the engagement pact could be deadly. Joseph had somehow received notice that his intended was pregnant and he wasn't the father. This constituted adultery, and adultery for a woman was punishable with death by stoning. Joseph was in a quandary. It's obvious he loved Mary and was excited to marry her, but now it was obvious she had betrayed him. How could he marry her now? Joseph's ordinary life was upended. He couldn't go through with it, knowing everyone in the village would be all wink, wink, nudge, nudge, jump the gun, did you now? Or worse, how in the world could you marry a woman carrying someone else's child? How could you ever trust a woman like that, sucker? But Joseph was a righteous man, and he knew his rights. He could publicly disown and disgrace Mary, leaving her to death by stoning at worst, or ostracization for herself and her family, because her father should have kept a better watch on her. But Joseph was a righteous man, a just man, a compassionate man, who wanted to do the right thing. Mary was already going through enough turmoil, and he didn't want to add to her burdens. As Joseph wrestled with what to do, he did something very wise. He took a nap. Haven't you had a time in your own life where the stuff on your mind and your heart was so heavy, you just wanted to forget it for a while and get some rest, to sleep, perchance to dream? And haven't you found that in sleep, the right answer sometimes comes to you? Joseph shouldn't have been surprised to find himself having vivid dreams. He was just like his biblical namesake, who dreamed wonderful dreams about his future. Joseph has four different dreams and angel visitations in Matthew's gospel. This one is the first. Then right after the Magi visit in the next chapter, Joseph will be instructed by another angel in another dream to take the infant Jesus and his mother and flee to Egypt because Herod is trying to kill the child. After Herod's death, Joseph will be given the all clear to depart from Egypt in another dream. And finally, as the family is returning home, Joseph is warned in yet another dream to settle in Nazareth instead of returning to Bethlehem. When Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and Mary, he was a big, awesome, glittering, glowing creature who immediately reassured them by saying, "Don't be afraid of me. I'm not here to harm you. I'm here to bring you some wonderful news." What did the angel in Joseph's dream look like? This one, as his counterparts did, told Joseph not to be afraid, but not of him, the angel. He told Joseph not to be afraid of other people, the way they would whisper and gossip about him and Mary. He told Joseph Mary was standing in her truth, and she needed him to stand beside her to silence the snickering and brave the bad-mouthing. Joseph was a righteous man. He was well within his rights to put Mary aside as the law dictated, but he also knew he was compelled to practice compassion. Joseph was a righteous man who knew his scriptures, including the one we heard from the elder earlier, the one that spoke of a virgin being pregnant and giving birth to one who would be known as Emmanuel, God with us. We need to unpack that prophecy so we can understand Joseph's decision better. I won't take you down the same rabbit hole I fell in as I was studying the scripture from Isaiah. It's still controversial even today. People still argue, does the Hebrew word Alma, translated as virgin, mean virgin or simply young woman? What about the Greek word Parthenos? Does it simply mean a young woman of marriageable age? Or does it mean damsel, as in damsel in distress? And Mary for a moment certainly was one. The background for the giving of this prophecy was prompted by the dilemma of Ahaz, king of Judah. Judea was being threatened with invasion from the united armies of Syria and Israel under the command of kings Rezin and Pekah. Ahaz was so alarmed, he called on Assyria to come and help him fight them instead of calling on God to help him. God sent Isaiah to Ahaz with a profound proposition. Ask God for a sign that everything will be all right. That's a hidden honor to have God say, I will send whatever sign you ask for, whether it's deep down in the earth or high up in the heavens. Make it as far-fetched as you possibly can. Try me. God was up for the challenge. Now, Ahaz's reply seems pretty pious on the surface. He said, no, I won't tempt or test God. He knew the scripture warning against testing God. But his was a false piety, a false humility. In reality, Ahaz was saying, nah, God, I'm good. I don't want to be beholden to you. I don't want to have to trust you. Asking for a sign meant committing to God. If Ahaz asked for something and got it, he'd be obligated to toss his lot in with God, and he didn't want to do that. Even as Isaiah reminded him that the Lord was his God, Ahaz wasn't saying, I won't ask for a sign because I trust you, God. He was saying, I won't ask for a sign from you, God, because I don't trust you. He didn't believe God could or would help him. So insulted for God's sake, Isaiah gave Ahaz the message. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and she'll bear a son, and she'll name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are dread will be deserted. For centuries, scholars have debated what this means exactly. Who was the young woman? A woman in the crowd listening right then, that very day, or a young woman who would live centuries away, like Mary? Was it Isaiah's own wife? Was the child mentioned Isaiah's own son, Shir Jashub, whom Isaiah had brought along when he went out to meet Ahaz? Or was it a child of the future? Here was another sign. Ahaz needed to develop a childlike trust in God. And it's interesting that a prophecy about a child would be given to Ahaz, who burned his own children as a sacrifice to the false god Molech. The prophecy was a pledge of divine protection and presence. It's actually saying a young woman who's somewhere in the vicinity and who is now a virgin, will conceive and bring forth a child. And by the time that child arrives at an age where he is able to distinguish between good and evil, that is, within just a few years, the enemies of Judah will be destroyed. Not right away. Young children shouldn't eat honey because of the danger of botulism, because they can't digest it properly. But in due time, everything will turn out right. Honey and butter are usually available in times of peace and plenty, when wars have ended, and that child would have more sense than Ahaz. Overall, biblical scholars mostly agree that the prophecy was a now and later prophecy, a near and far prophecy. It had implications for Ahaz's time right then. Ahaz had nothing to fear. In only a few short years, the kings he was afraid of would be brought down and the land would be free again. In the future, another young woman would be a living reminder of this word from God. The first Emmanuel was a way of reassuring Ahaz that God would be with him in his battle against Rezin and Pekah, not Assyria nor anyone else. Ahaz could rely on God to help him, but he didn't. The second Emmanuel is a reassurance for us that God will be with us in the form and figure of his son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in our times of trial and trouble. God was sending Jesus into the world, a world where people thought they didn't need God, as Ahaz had thought. So the old word and the new word came together in the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Joseph would have remembered the old scripture. He had probably heard it read in the synagogue and maybe wondered what it really meant, without having any inkling that he would be part of its fulfillment, that he would be called to participate in God's great plan to redeem and revive the world. Not just a child is being birthed, but a whole new way of being was too. Joseph had to contemplate what God with us meant. It was not a promise for the distant future. It was a promise for right now, in the midst of his anger, angst, and disappointment. What a privilege for Joseph to be called to be part of God's new plan. Making it a reality was going to be tough, but he had the angel's assurance, "Don't be afraid. It will all turn out right. Trust me and trust God," as Ahaz should have. Joseph went up, woke up, and went right to work. He didn't ask any questions. "How can this be? Are you sure, angel?" He just got up and went and fetched Mary and married her. I can imagine how she felt when he appeared at the door and said, "Come on, Mary, let's go get married." I'm sure she was flooded with relief and love. "You believe me, Joseph. You will stand by me. You are the right man for me. I am chosen and favored, and so are you. We are in this together with God and with this child who is God with us, as God comes into our world and does a whole new thing." So what lessons do we learn from Joseph and his angelic dream? Sometimes, as I said earlier, we need to take a nap to clear our thinking and get some rest. And after the angel explains everything we need to know, we need to do what Joseph did. Get up and go. Don't hit the snooze button. Grab hold of your conviction that everything will be all right and go out and do the right thing. Be as steadfast and as obedient as Joseph, and stand up for the vulnerable and downtrodden as Joseph stood up for Mary. Know your scripture. Be compassionate. And let's say it again. Don't be afraid. God is with us now and then, near and far, always and ever. Let us pray. Help us, God, be awake and be woke and unafraid. Help us to see your signs of reassurance and redemption all around us, embodied in the one we call Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ our Lord, whose birth we celebrate and whose name we pray. Amen.
A star dancing in the night with the A child.